happens when we read from the Word of God. Matthew chapter 1, and we're going to read from 18. I don't know if... Let's stop fiddling with the... whatever. Thanks. Matthew 1, 18. It says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. You know, just think on that for a second. This is something that's remarkable, that the Holy Spirit, having made Mary with child, this is something that science has really illuminated for us in recent years. People used to think that when a man and a woman got together, the baby's blood was a mixture of the man's and the woman's. But in recent years, we found out that the child's blood comes from the father. And this is a remarkable and beautiful thing for us, because we've always questioned, people in the church always questioned, well, from the line of Adam, surely that would mean that there was sin transferred to Jesus because of the blood. The transfer through the bloodline, surely there was sin in that. Well, you know what? There was no sin in that, because the bloodline of Jesus Christ came from the Father's blood, his heavenly Father. It's a tremendous truth. So what that means is his sacrifice, when he was crucified for us, it was pure blood that was shed. That wasn't tainted blood. It wasn't sin-tainted blood. It wasn't blood from the line of Adam. It was pure blood from the line of God by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Now, we've only just found that out through modern science. Isn't that something? We've just found it out. But isn't it remarkable that modern science and everything that they find out on every turn, it points to Bible truth. The latest revelations regarding the binary coding of DNA prove that the theory of evolution is nonsense, utter nonsense, impossible. It couldn't happen. And, I mean, if we needed any evidence, we can see that there are, for example, when they say that man evolved from apes, what nonsense that is. We have apes today. I've seen them in the zoo there in Chester. We have, my wife says, I have a similarity to the silverback. Can you see the side profile? Can you see that? And then you see that we have human beings today. We have nothing in between, do we? But they say that there was all these in-between stages. Well, we've got apes today. We've got humans today. We have no in-between stages. And we have no in-between stages between anything. There's no fish that's half a lizard today. Doesn't exist. There's nothing. There's no land creature that's sort of developing into half a bird. What nonsense man comes up with. The theory of evolution, it's a joke. Shows, though, something, doesn't it? That the stupid society that we live in, it's a stupid society. The Bible quotes that. Not just me, the stupid society has believed and gone down that road. Listen, don't listen to the stupid society. They're wrong. And in the end, it'll be shown. Praise God. So, with child of the Holy Spirit, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Hallelujah. Listen, the Christmas story is full of directions. This is one thing I wanted to get across this morning, really. Directions. If you think about it, we have the angel there giving directions to Mary. We have, as we will see later on, a star in the sky. Who did the star give directions to? Any of the children possibly could help me with this. There was a star in the sky, and it gave directions to who? That star that was shining bright in the night sky. Who did it give directions to? Any of the children? Not sure. The shepherds. Well, there was light in the sky that helped the shepherds, all right? Yes, 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 there was. I was thinking of the wise men in the main. That star was shining and it gave directions. And throughout, we see what happens with the wise men. The wise men turn up and they go to Herod asking for directions. So they say to Herod, look, can you tell us about this new king that's going to be born? New king, he says. Oh, find him. Let me know. I want to worship him. He wasn't saying the truth, was he? And then what happens? They get directions in a dream not to go back to Herod to tell him anything. And then we have the directions that came to the shepherds. An angel came, and then a whole host of angels come, giving directions to those shepherds, saying about Jesus. And then they respond, and they follow those directions. And if you read the accounts, Matthew and Luke, especially as I've been reading this week, what you find is that there's directions, all the time directions and directions and directions. And my question and my thinking was this. Well, directions are giving all the time. And you know, on the television, we're receiving all sorts of directions, aren't we? From the television. Directions towards the Boxing Day sales. Directions towards buying this product. Directions towards that thing. And friends and family are giving directions, all sorts of directions. But the question I'm asking myself is this. Are we receiving directions from our Heavenly Father? This is a time especially when we ought to be aware of the wrong directions. If there's one thing at Christmas we need to understand, it's that God is speaking to His family, His children, and we need to heed His directions. I was wondering if possibly the children here, I wonder if some of the children have learned their left from their right. Any of the children know their left from their right? Which, if you know your left hand, put your left hand up. I just checked, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I tell you what, you children, you come up here a sec, because I need your help. Just come up here. And maybe even the older ones, maybe some of the older ones as well, because you can come up as well. Not quite children, but you can come up and help. I tell you what, oh, come up here. In fact, let's all come round here. Go careful up the steps, and you can come here and help me out with this. Because now then, what I want is, I need all your help. And what I need you to do is, Let's just try this first. Raise your left hand, please. Left hand, that's it. And then, okay. Now then, I need you to give me directions, okay? We're talking about directions this morning, so they're going to give me directions. So what you're going to do is you're going to say left, right, stop, go. Do you think you can do that? And what I want is, I want your directions to help me get from here, and I'm going to wear a blindfold. I got a blindfold somewhere. Where's my blindfold? Here it is. I'm going to put a blindfold on, and what I want you to do is direct me from here, okay? I'm going to walk to here. Now, be careful. Get it right, please, because there's steps here. Could be dangerous. And then I want you to turn me around, get me to walk down here, and then again, I've got to go up these steps, and this is the finish line. And if I finished, if I'm here, you would have done a brilliant job. Okay? Do you think you can do it?
Yeah.
By saying left, right, stop, go. Yeah? Genesis, you're the captain of the team, okay? Okay. Now then. Here goes. The blindfold is going on. Okay, everyone. Begin. Right. Was absolutely terrible instructions that you gave me. I ended up in the kitchen. Honestly, I thought you knew your left from your right. It was my fault. You're saying it was my fault. Oh, I don't believe it. You mean that it was me?
Yeah.
It wasn't me, it was them, wasn't it?
No.
You mean to say it was me at fault?
Yes.
So they did a good job?
Yes.
Okay, everyone. Good job, you guys. Good job. You could go back to your seats. That was brilliant. Brilliant job. Well done. Look at that, everyone. Didn't they do well?
Yeah.
They did so well. Yeah. The point of the illustration is this. I thought that I was paying attention to the instructions, and I ended up in the wrong place. The truth of the matter is this. If you want to end up in the right place, your chosen destination, you need to pay close attention to the directions that are given. And God is giving us directions. He's given us directions by two main ways. There's two main vehicles that God uses to give us directions in life. And many people think that they're following God's directions when they're not. And what happens is they end up in the wrong place. They end up in a place that they didn't want to be. They end up questioning God. They end up saying, well, how come I've ended up here? Well, it's because you weren't listening. You weren't paying attention. Ah, but I was. No, you weren't listening and paying attention. And I believe that this Christmas time, What we see in the Christmas story over and over again is people, and this is why it's recorded in the scriptures, people who, despite everything, yielded and listened to the directions of God. And so we have an opportunity at the end of a year to examine, have we been listening to the directions that God has given? Have we been listening to his directions? And we can determine that in 2016, we will listen to the directions that God has given us. We want to listen to God's directions, don't we? Yeah. And we want to end up in the destiny that God has called for us to end up in. We'll only end up in that place if we listen to his directions. And the trouble is, many people want to go their own way. They want to listen to directions only if it's comfortable for them. They want to, you know, they're happy to agree that they are serving Jesus. Yes, we serve Jesus. Yes, we follow Jesus. Well, Jesus is the one who's called us to do this on that. Ah, well, you know, I'm following Jesus, but, you know, I won't go that far. You see? And the truth is that God doesn't always want us to be nice and comfortable. You know, some people, they come to church and they want the pastor just to be nice all the time to them and just say everything that they agree with. Well, listen, folks, sometimes the pastor has to say stuff that you're not going to agree with. And you can go away and whine and whinge and moan, or you can go away and think, maybe that's a challenge from God, and maybe we need to change direction. And I believe that that's what God is saying to us all at this time. Listen, what does it matter what my will is or your will? What really matters is his will. Amen. You see, people are happy to have Jesus as Savior, but Jesus cannot be our Savior unless we make him Lord. He's Lord and Savior, the Bible teaches us. And to have him as Lord means that there are times when we're going to do things because we're yielded to his lordship that we wouldn't choose to do, that perhaps we don't want to do. And yet, that's the thing that we need to do, because he's the one that we're following, and he's the one who's given us directions. We're not following our own fanciful directions. We're not following our own desires, we're following Jesus. And Jesus reveals his will in his word. And there are some very clear directions that he gives in his word. I just wanted to briefly go through them this morning in this brief service that we're having. As we think of the Christmas service, you know, as I've said already, there was the directions from Gabriel to Mary. The angel appeared to the shepherds, then the host of angels. A star appears to the wise men. Wise men, they go to Herod. Herod goes to the chief priests and the scribes for direction. And he gets those directions from the prophet. Those wise men and the scribes, they quote the prophet to Herod. And Herod listens. And then God warns the wise men in a dream, not to return to Herod. So the Christmas season is full of directions. You know, God uses people who believe that he can do the impossible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. In Luke 1:37, Mary answered Gabriel, the angel, with this reply, "Be it unto me according to thy word." What a good response she gave. Beautiful response that she gave. And a response that we can learn from today. Look, briefly, what are the biblical principles for decision making? If we can take a couple of things from this service this morning, let them be these things. Solid decision making begins by discerning the will of God. And God delights in revealing his will to those who want to follow him and his precepts. Is everyone understanding that so far?
Yes.
Nice and clear?
Yes.
It says in Psalm 35, verse 27, it says this, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, who has pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. The Lord has prosperity. The Lord has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. You know, some people, they don't have pleasure in your prosperity. They're jealous. They're jealous. And, you know, they don't like it. They feel, but the Lord, he has pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Amen? And he loves us. And he wants the best for us. And our attitude towards decision-making should be that if Jesus himself said, not my will, but yours be done, he gave us the example that we should follow. And God reveals his will to us primarily in two ways, through his Spirit and through his Word. In John 16:13, it says this, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. And God reveals his will then also through his word. Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And the process of our decision-making includes making a judgment about an attitude or an action. You know, decisions are an act of our will. And we're all always influenced by, obviously, the mind and our will and our emotions, the soul realm. And the decisions we make reflect the desires of our heart a lot of the time. A lot of the time when we make those decisions and we do something, we have kidded ourselves that it was God's will. It wasn't God's will at all. It was our will. And what God wants for us to do is to be honest and say, you know what? Yeah, it has been. At times it's been our will. But Lord Jesus, I want your will for my life now. I want to live your life. I want to yield my life to you. I want to be like those wise men who left everything. They followed a star. They were diligent. They were seeking and they were diligent. They followed. And when they found, they gave sacrificially to the work of Jesus. They gave to him. They just wanted to pour out their lives. More than anything else, they gave their lives. It took them time. It took them energy. It took them effort to get to Jesus. And God is saying to us, look, your life now, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me. As the Apostle Paul said, listen, he said, to be a Christian is to be a bondslave of Jesus Christ. And that means there are times when my will and my desires are put secondary to his will and his desires. It might feel like we want to go and do this thing or that thing. But actually, God is saying, no, if your life is yielded to me, if you are a follower of Jesus, a bondslave of Christ, then what you need to do is follow after me, picking up your cross daily and leaving your life and following my way. Living a different life, a life that's cleaved to Jesus. I tell you the truth, when people hear the gospel from people whose lives are cleaved to Jesus, it has an impact. And people around us, our family and our friends, need that impact. Time is quick, time is short. What is our life? Our life is like the morning dew. Let's spend our time on Jesus. Let's spend our time for him, shall we? Let's leave the worldly pursuits, leave those worldly pursuits behind and spend our energies, spend our focus, our time, our desires on serving the King of Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. We praise you this morning, Lord. He's saying to us, listen, spend your resources on me. Spend your resources on me. Spend your time on me. Live my life. If you try to gain your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's, you gain it. Amen. And that's the absolute truth. We gain the riches of life. If we don't, you can tell if you're not. Because if you're not, you're trying to squeeze as much enjoyment out of a miserable existence that you possibly can. But when you abandon yourself to Jesus and say, yes, Lord, your will, life becomes rich. and the rain doesn't bother you as much. So the key question before a decision made is this: do I choose to please myself or do I choose to please the Lord? You know, Joshua set the standard in a way, we could say that, in Joshua 24. If serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, Joshua 24:15. Undesirable. It seems undesirable to some. It's undesirable to some to really stand up for Jesus. It's undesirable to say a word for Jesus in a group of people that possibly we ought not to. I'm not saying you should always do it, but I'm saying there may be times when you should. I'm saying that we should be yielded enough that when the Holy Spirit wants to open our mouth, we open our mouth. That's what I'm saying. And I'm saying that very often God calls us to live in a way that's uncomfortable for us, that goes against our flesh, goes against our desires, and he's putting him first, putting him above my desires, above my life, putting him above entertainment, putting him above sports, putting him above those things, letting God be first place in my life. I don't care for example, pursuing the things that are advertised, the things that are in this world, the things that the world tries to suck us into. I'm not going to be pursuing those things. My desire is to pursue the life that Jesus has given me and to see the fruit of that life. There's no fruit or satisfaction in those other things. It just isn't there. But with Jesus, there's great satisfaction. Leading someone to the Lord is a beautiful thing. You know, this coming year, we're going to have classes on Sunday evenings in the church. The Sunday evening service is going to be a class similar to the ones that we had on a Monday evening. And on a Monday evening, we'd have two services on the Sunday, but on a Monday, we'd often have about 20 people in those Monday evening classes. But we're going to change because there's so much going on in the week. We thought we're going to have those classes now on a Sunday evening. So Sunday evenings, we're going to try for 3 months. Bible class. We're going to be pursuing the things of God, studying the Bible, and getting into the Word of God. So, Joshua 24:15, if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. What that means is sometimes we'll say no to mercy. We'll say, no, you're not going to do that. Why? Well, it gets in the way of other plans, the plans that we have regarding God. The plans that we have regarding, there's parties she wants to go to. She's not going to parties if there's a Sunday service on. We're not going to parties when there's a Sunday service on. We're putting God first. We're not going midweek when there's things on. We're going to put God first in things. We're going to teach her the way to go. We're going to teach Samuel the way to go. We're going to try and set an example to family members and friends. We're going to pursue the things of God in our life. And God is calling us to do that. God is looking for people who will serve him. And how do we serve him? Well, number one, he's given us a body. A church. And the church is his body. The church is where God manifests himself. And God works it through the order of the church. In the scriptures, the ecclesia, the called out ones. They that have been called out from the world are now in the body of Christ. And God works through his body on planet earth. I want to encourage you. Listen, if you've never considered coming to midweek prayer meeting, you need to consider it. Come to midweek prayer meeting. If you've never considered coming to evening services and going through Bible study, consider it. You can't always do it. People can't always do it. And if you can't do it, don't feel condemned. God never condemns anyone. We've all got different schedules and timetables. So don't feel you need to justify yourself. You don't need to do that. But what you just need to do, that's all I ask, is this. If you can't, that's fine. But just ask the Lord for him to have his will in your life. Make sure you're choosing him. You know your timetable. You know your schedule. But just choose him and follow him and serve him and be directed by him. And we're directed by him when we yield ourselves to his will. His will is revealed in his word. And we know that he has chosen the church as his body, as one of the main areas for him to work in and through. So anyone who has a problem with a Bible-believing church like this, or anyone who has difficulties in understanding what's going on, listen, God works through his church. And we've produced a little partnership, little booklet. It's a little cardboard thing. We've got them in the back there, Mark. And it's a partnership card. I'm saying that because I want you to get one out for me. I think they're there somewhere. And read through that. Have a look at it. There's hundreds of them that we've had. And have a look. And that shows, you know, what we're talking about. Thanks so much. It says, number one, there's only 4 points on it. And it goes into details. Number one, I'll protect the unity of my church. We can all agree with that. Every Christian should agree with that. I'll protect the unity of my church. Number two, I will share the responsibility of my church. I'll share the responsibility. Number three, I will serve the ministry of my church. Amen. Number four, I will support the testimony of my church. I mean, good points. Thought through points. Prayed through points. And each of those points has got scriptures underneath. Please take one of these. Have a look at these. It's a small little thing, but you know it's powerful. And this is what we stand for. And this is what Jesus gave to us. And anyone who can't agree with this, there's some issues going on. If you can't agree with this and do this, then I'll tell you the truth. You're not being directed by God. These are directions by God. And if you can't agree with those, then there's a wrong direction going on. And you know, the enemy sends many directions. At this time of Christmas, there's all sorts of directions being sent our way. Wrong directions. But there's the clear direction of the Lord, and it's there for those who spend time with him. It's there for those who spend time with God and who place themselves in a position to hear from him. We place ourselves in a position to hear from God when we spend time with him, when we spend time in his word. And so, this is why it's so important. Look, as we're coming to a close here, he teaches us and counsels us as he reveals himself to us through his word and spirit. God has made this promise to us. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you, he says in Psalm 32:8. And there'll be times, as we've said, when God's will seems undesirable or unpleasant, when our heart wants to follow our own desires instead of trusting God. But we will eventually learn that God, his will, is always there for our benefit. The chief key to solid decision-making is knowing God's will and not following the desires of our own hearts. There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death. Don't follow our own desires. Don't do that. Let's go God's way. God is looking to build a strong and robust church. He's looking for Christians who are strong and robust in themselves. Everyone who is a Christian in this place has the opportunity of being a leader in his church. Because God is looking for those who are disciples who make them disciples. And around the world, when the church has grown, what's happened is believers have become mature enough to then influence and reach other believers. And when they influence and reach other believers, in turn they're discipled, and those will reach others. And what happens? The church starts to grow, and it grows robust like that. But it takes people who are saying, I'm going to listen to his direction. I'm not going to listen to the directions of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen. The world, the flesh, and the devil will try and get at us. And at Christmas time, you know, most people, Christmas time is the saddest time of the year. That's a fact, statistical fact. So many people lonely, they feel it at Christmas. And when we're charged up under the direction of God, I know that God would have us reaching someone. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's someone who you don't even know, but you're prompted on the inside to go up to them and say something like, Jesus loves you. And they say, well, and then you may have a conversation, and then you may lead them to Jesus. It's as simple as that. But what it takes in the first place is for us to be in the position of yieldedness to him, to his word, to the Holy Spirit, our lives just yielded to him and saying, Lord Jesus, not my will, thy will be done. And that's what he's calling us to, my dear friends. You know, he loves us. And I look back at this year, and I see a year full of mistakes by me personally. I can look back, and I can see where I got it wrong. But, you know, I won't use that. I won't allow that to discourage me. And I'm going to say to you this morning, don't use your mistakes to discourage you this morning. God encourages us. He never discourages us. He encourages us. He may point things out to us. The Holy Spirit may be speaking to you this morning, and he may be pointing things out to you this morning. It's not a discouragement. It's an encouragement just to turn and do the right thing. See it as an encouragement. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged because Jesus loves you. And Jesus loves you so much, he gave himself for you. And this morning, just determine to spend this end of the year yielded to him and his will, pursuing Jesus above everything else, and letting Jesus be Lord of your life as well as the Savior. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand together, shall we? Let's all close our eyes in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you this morning for Jesus. We thank you for this Christmas time, this time where we come together in your holy name. And Father, we ask this, that our lives would be yielded to your Lordship. That Father, you'd show us what you want us to do, how you want us to live. And that Father God, we would live yielded lives to you. And that we wouldn't go our own way and be... Yes, we wouldn't go our own way and being stiff-necked, but we would be yielded, that the potter may make from our lives whatever you choose. And so this morning, Savior, we want to respond in our hearts to you, our hearts and our minds, and we want to say, Lord, have your way with us. Let your will be done, your kingdom come in and through our lives, now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise be to God.